right now here in just in the state of Washington, there are a lot of kids. There are kids that are out of school. They're not in school right now. And if you take the totality of the kids that are at home, and you got to think, what percentage of kids are really learning right now, right? Like, homes are different. Financial means are different. Mm-hmm. Environments, what's going on inside of the homes are different. The responsibility of these kids inside the homes are different. And also, I want to add to this, some learn different, including myself. Mm-hmm. Ursula, I couldn't imagine being at home and having the teacher send over like, hey, here's your assignment and here's what's due for today. I personally cannot learn like that. I need to see. I need to talk to you. I need to have a conversation and more face to face. So a lot of the problem that I see right now is there are so many kids that are going to be so far behind because of what we're dealing with right now.
Well, and I think you're exactly right. And so the big question again is, what do you do in the fall? You know, already we're concerned that so many health experts are saying that there will likely be a resurgence, or at the very least, you know, COVID-19 is not going to go away. So how is it going to look this fall? So now we are joined by Chris Rakedahl, State Superintendent of Public Instruction. He joins the G and Ursula show. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Ursula. Good morning, G. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for joining us. Well, we have all sorts of questions. We'll just get right into it. What kind of options are you considering for different districts next year?
Well, we've got a group kind of putting together some thinking. We're looking at 5 countries around the world that have attempted to reopen. We're looking at 6 or 7 states that may have a good framework, although nobody's really trying to reopen yet in any of the states. And at this point, it looks like it'll be some kind of a menu based on a lot more localization, right? Caseloads are different around the state. Population densities, whether you're in elementary school, can look very different than a high school. So it'll be a menu. And you can imagine things from, gosh, if the health allows it, traditional open. If the health doesn't allow that kind of density of students in the classrooms, then it can be alternating schedules, either every other day or every other week. Every one of these things creates a solution and simultaneously a challenge. If you thought this was hard for the last 2 months, as many of us who are parents are, you know, imagine a schedule that's alternating and trying to find childcare.
Right.
And so everyone is struggling in this planning group and across the country to figure out, how do you best meet the needs of parents and maintain continuous learning in a way that makes sense? So there will be 6, 7, 8 options at this point, and then variations of those options, including some more online learning. And there are some people who say, make all the elementary kids go back to school face to face. They need it the most, and put your high school kids in online programs. But heck, there's a lot of high school kids who need face-to-face, too. So no answers yet, for sure. Just exploring the models right now and trying to figure out if we're seeing good results anywhere in the country or anywhere around the planet.
If you had to pinpoint one, and I know it's difficult, but if there was one thing that you say, this is the biggest issue, having done this now for a couple of months, seeing what's going on, this is the biggest challenge that we have. What is that?
Well, the biggest challenge is the isolation. You're asking a bunch of young people who by definition are developing, right? They're developing physically and mentally and emotionally, and they're young, right? They're still creating who they are in the world. You're asking them to take almost total control of their learning on their own. And that is a big challenge, right? No country, no nation, no state does that. We believe the best place for kids is in a more structured environment of school, where they get the routine. They get pushed by good teachers. They get nutrition there, maybe mental health supports, maybe nursing supports. So the challenge has been just deploying learning in an environment that was never designed for learning. And so I think the big push here is to do what we can to get schools open this fall. That is what we are trying to do. But we got to do it so that it's safe for families, it's safe for kids, and we don't contribute to any spike in cases this fall. And so health department will guide our regulation. My job is to give a menu of options to districts to say, okay, within those health guidelines, here's what's a possibility for you. You got to design something that makes sense for your community.
Chris, you mentioned isolation for some of these kids. And I got to tell you, this is It's really been tugging at my heart, and I need to ask you, because lately we've seen several studies that peg the number of kids who aren't participating at all in remote learning at around 40%. Can you tell us how many kids in the state of Washington that aren't checking into class?
Well, we check in with our districts about this through survey, but it's mostly about whether they have the capability of connection. And so we know that 70 or 80% of our students have device, they have a good connection, they have the ability to do this. I agree with you that it is higher than that for the number of kids actually engaging on a daily basis. There's no doubt that some of them are not having that kind of frequency. So we don't have a detailed number. I can tell you it varies a lot, though. We have districts reporting 90%+ connectivity on a regular basis, and then districts that tell us, hey, we're rural and remote, or we are just really struggling to get kids to engage here. So that's why I keep saying, you know, through all of this to you two in particular and others, this is not the system I would design. Even with the best connectivity and the best online learning platforms, and we have three that we primarily rely on in this state, I would not design this system for developing young people. Our school system was designed to put a lot of supports around them. We do need to create more options in high school, and I think this is going to give us a chance to do that and learn a lot from it. But we've got to create a safe space to get kids back in school. That gives us the best chance of success.
Chris, I think we all agree. The best chance for success are our children being back in the schoolhouse. But there is a possibility. There is a possibility that that might not happen. And if it does not happen in the future, in the fall, are you guys prepared to deal with that? What will be the measures that you guys will take if kids aren't in the classroom in the fall?
Yeah, I would say we are better prepared. So we've deployed tens of thousands of more devices. We're purchasing connectivity for families that can't afford it or have not been able to do that in the past. Our teachers are now getting professional development on a much bigger scale on how to deliver instruction online. So we are more prepared, and we will get vastly better at it, too, over the summer when we can sort of take a break a little bit and teachers can really dive into the teaching and learning methodologies. And that's been part of our planning struggle here is we know we want a fall open, albeit potentially limited, but we have to be prepared to flip over to a distance model, either because statewide the health doesn't allow it or in a particular building, if there's COVID cases, we will be required to shut down, clean those buildings. And what we don't want to do is just say, hey, we're not learning for 3 or 4 days. This isn't the snow model, right? This isn't the winter weather model now for a year or so. This is the how do we seamlessly make the transition when this occurs in our districts.
Chris, I want to go back just a bit to what you said about students who are unable to fully participate in school or participate at all. Would that then mean about 20% of students in Washington?
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm landing. Again, I don't have empiricism because we don't have, you know, any scientific data about this, but we're asking districts both formally and informally to at least tell us their connectivity. And we're asking them again next week. So we're going to get another round of data on how many students they believe have a secure device for learning that's adequate and how many of them have a meaningful connection to do synchronous learning. And we keep sort of coming up with a statewide number here that seems to indicate 20 or 25% don't have one or both of those.
Wow, that seems like a huge problem that obviously you would want to address by this fall. I mean, that can't continue for any given period of time. So it sounds like that is one of your critical areas at this point, amongst many.
It is, and that's why some of the models that we're looking at are can you focus face-to-face time? If we can't have all of our students in our buildings due to social distancing requirements of the CDC or the Department of Health, maybe you prioritize kids who have not had connectivity and give them the priority of face-to-face. That's all of those kind of things we're trying to model right now and figure out how to deploy.
So just real quick, too, you mentioned possibly doing summer school. What are your thoughts on summer school, given that Seattle's superintendent has now said that summer courses will be available?
We're trying to make this a universal opportunity for districts who want to be engaged in it. It means we've got to get a clear decision out of the governor. His closure orders through June 19th, and so we're engaging him right now to say, hey, let's make sure we all understand what the options are after June 19th. It'll probably be consistent with his return orders. So there'll be places in phase 2 and phase 3, so up to 10 students or up to 50 students. But we're doing everything we can now to create a summer opportunity where we can get districts to look at their data, figure out who didn't get connected, figure out students with disabilities who missed out on services, for example, and have them be really intense and really intentional about helping those kids catch up to give us the best opportunity to fall open where our students have what they need. So we're doing everything we can right now to make that a possibility. And districts are already prepared. Like, they are ready to go. They just need the green light to make this an option.
This is the voice of Chris Ragdow, Washington State Superintendent of Public Instruction, joining the Gene Ursula Show. Chris, we had a conversation about vaccinations and for schools and work and everything. So when a vaccine for the coronavirus becomes available, do you, in your opinion, should schools in the state of Washington require kids to get it?
Yes. Yeah, we have vaccine requirements right now on some things. And as you know, the legislature really grappled with this over the last couple of years. They narrowed down an exemption where people could basically walk in and say, I just don't want one. That sort of went away. There's still a religious exemption opportunity here, or a medical exemption. There are some people who medically cannot accept an injection. And so I do think we live in a world where we ought to be guided by science. And I think most people will be diligent about this, and they'll get their vaccines for their children as they do. We have a very high take-up rate. But when they don't do that and there's clear science, it is a medical risk to everybody else. Again, there are exemption processes, and we want to try to honor that. But the health experts tell us that when you have a vaccine or you have herd immunity, there is a volume of people who need one or the other in order for us to collectively be safe. And so I'll yield to the health experts on that. But at this point, I would suggest if we get a good vaccine, it gets approved by the feds, and it's an effective treatment, that should be a standard practice of care.
Chris, before we wrap up, I want to mention that the Gene and Ursula Show will be holding a special commencement day for the class of 2020. High school students who, you know, of course, as you know, are not able to do some of their milestone events in their senior year. And we are going to have a special day where we honor them. How important is it? I know every district is trying to do something to recognize the students. How important is it for them to be recognized or have some sort of way to honor what they have done, you know, throughout their high school career?
Well, I think it's really important. You know, this means different things to different families, to be honest with you. And, you know, I'll tell you, I was the first in my family to go straight to college from high school, and half of my siblings graduated and roughly half of them didn't. And so we were a pretty complex family growing up with a lot of poverty, and it meant different things to us as individuals. So what we just recently guided districts to is, you know, have something for your students, work with your local health departments. It has to follow, of course, the social distancing guidelines, and we can't have large gatherings in places, but do something to recognize and honor 13 years of hard work for these young people. And particularly parents, they want a closure, right? They want to recognize this milestone in the transition. And what I always say to them is, it's an important celebration, and it's a celebration that you have a next step.
Yes.
So it's not the end of a journey. This is about, like, okay, what's my next step? Am I going to work? Am I going to go to a technical program, military, a university, a college? We've been spending a lot of energy the last 2 years getting kids graduated and celebrating that, but also challenging them to have a next step. And hopefully districts are focused on that. We asked them to put a lot of attention on seniors the last 10 weeks, and I'm really confident they've done a great job getting our seniors ready to go for graduation.
Chris, we sure appreciate your time, and I just want to invite you to be part of our show on that day. It is June 5th, a Friday, and we'll be in touch with you for that.
That would be awesome. Anything you need me to do or I can help with, I'd love to do it. You two have been awesome, and I appreciate you covering all of this. It takes hours to discuss the complexity of education and fall startup and summer and just how amazing the difficulty is. But let me also just shout out to parents. This has been tough on them, and we have amazing and resilient parents. They want a return to school for the most part, and we want to provide that, and we will do everything we can to get us there.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate you, man.